Welcome aboard Flight 1969, service to Jet Nation Radio.
Look at what a leader this guy is.
Bolt is fighting for his job this year.
This is what quarterbacks are made of.
Doug Middleton, get a 50-yard onside kick. How stupid can you possibly be making that much money?
Folks, grab a snack.
Let's go to eat a goddamn snack.
And join Joe Blewett and Glenn Naughton for Jet Nation Radio.
And welcome to another edition of Jet Nation Radio. Big thanks to Chris from the Rockpile Report for recording that intro for us. I obviously greatly appreciated. We need one for a little bit. So big thanks to him for doing that. Going to have to buy him some beer or something next time he comes down here. I go up to Buffalo, which I'm not planning on doing anytime soon. We're trying to get Glenn on again. We'll see if it works. If not, I'll run a solo show again. Going to have to deal with some technical problems while we figure out Glenn's whole situation over there in the UK. But for now, until we get him on, thank you to our sponsor, Miles Social, who manages your social media so you can run your business. You could always call in at 646-716-4697. Talk about whatever you want to talk about. There's not a ton of things really circulating around Jets land as of right now. But there are some topics that we're going to get to, as usual. You can follow me on Twitter at JoeRB31 and Glenn on Twitter at AceFan23. Please write us a podcast review if you can. We'd greatly appreciate it. Like I said last week, I think the names were Holy Jets and Don, who wrote us some reviews. So we'd greatly appreciate anybody who does that. Like I said, if you give us a 4 or 5 star rating and then you want to write something, it helps us get out to other people. More people see the show, which in turn, you know, makes our show bigger. So hopefully you could do that for us. tonight we'll talk about, we're going to talk about Jay Cutler. There's been some rumors right now that Jay Cutler might be coming to the Jets and that he wants to play for New York, and everybody's connecting the dots. Now you figure he's not going to be playing for the New York Giants, unless he's going to be a backup. So we'll talk a little bit about him. There's a new quarterbacks coach, not a new quarterbacks coach. There's a guy that the Jets are supposedly really looking into, who's probably going to be the next quarterback coach. We'll talk about him for a little bit. Some guys the Jets claimed off of the waiver wires. Let's get into them. We'll talk a little bit about Brandon Marshall. He made some more comments this week, which are just stupid. Some minor signings, but I guess for now, until we do get Glenn on, whenever we can get Glenn on, we can talk about Jay Cutler. Like I said, if anybody wants to call in, talk, I don't know if anybody really has a great opinion on Jay Cutler, if they really are ecstatic about the Jets potentially linking up with him. And this is from no credible source or anybody within the organization saying, yeah, the Jets are really interested in him. They're gonna go after him and try to get him in free agency. I heard Mike Francesa, who I rarely listen to, but I saw from a different source that said Cutler wants to come to New York. And now with the rumors that this Jeremy Bates guy is going to potentially be the quarterback's coach. He was both his quarterback's coach in Denver and in Chicago. People are talking about Cutler now. Would I want Cutler? No.
I think everybody knows my thoughts on older people coming to this team, especially at the quarterback position where the Jets need a guy who's going to be here for many, many years that we can build around. You're looking at a 33-year-old guy. You know, yeah, 6'3", 230, has the size you want, has a pretty solid arm, but still just makes terrible decisions at times. Just throws into traffic, throws it into double coverage, throws into triple coverage. Can't see, you know, a safety cheating up or a corner waiting to, let's say, pick a curl route or whatever it may be. I've watched him
a couple of games every single year the last couple of seasons, you know, since I've been a huge football fan. He has never really been good. The last year he played 5 games. The year before that he played 15 games. The year before that he played 15. Then it was 11. Then it was back to 15. Then it was 10. So he's battled some injuries as well, especially in the last couple of years.
getting benched for guys like Hoyer. He's not a good quarterback, and maybe he could be decent because you look at, you know, he might be better than what we've had the last couple of years. Yeah, I think he's better than Fitzpatrick. Yeah, do I think he's better than Geno? I do. Do I think he's better than Petty and Hackenberg at this point? Yeah, probably. When you take a look at his stats, you know, 4 touchdowns, 5 interceptions last year. The year before that, 21 touchdowns to 11 interceptions. The year before that, 28 touchdowns to 18 interceptions. The 19 to 12, the 19 to 14. So, you know, usually the Jets have quarterbacks where it's about even,
or they have more interceptions than touchdowns. So he might be better than the last couple of years where we've had, probably since, honestly, Favre or Pennington.
But at the same time, the Jets
aren't making a run to the playoffs, regardless if they get a quarterback or a corner or another safety or an offensive tackle. The Jets need to rebuild
mostly the entire roster to sort of bring in a guy to Jay Cutler who's probably going to demand, I don't even know. I can't even guess what a guy like him who only played 5 games last year, got benched a couple of times, is going to demand, but I'm going to guess it's going to be $13 to $15 million. Maybe 11 or 12 as the lowest. That's what I'm thinking right now. I didn't really look into that, but anyway, that's too high for him.
Like I said before, I'd rather bring in a Hoyer or McCown or one of these guys for, you know, $4, $5, $6 million, bring in Jay Cutler for double that money. So definitely would not be interested in Jay Cutler.
And then moving on to his quarterbacks coach. And like I said,
many weeks when I do this solo, we'll see how long this is going to be,
especially if Glenn does not come on, because we have some topics that are strictly for Glenn, because I've already talked about them. But we'll see how it goes. Trying to get in touch with him now. Sorry. So the next topic that we can go to is quarterbacks coach Jeremy Batts, or Bates. I believe it's Bates. Sorry. You try to look at his resume, and the only thing I could really find, and I think maybe it was Rich Cimini who pointed this out, or somebody else on Twitter, I forget exactly the name, but he's highly recommended by both John Gruden and Mike Shanahan. He worked with our new offensive coordinator Morton at USC under Pete Carroll, so there's obviously the connection there with Morton and with Bates, so that could potentially be the reason why. Where Morton's wanting to bring in his own, you know, offensive staff under the offensive coordinator for obvious reasons. He's been out of the league for 4 years, which is kind of weird that you're looking at a guy who's been out of the league for 4 years, now he's going to come back, just kind of like with the new outside linebackers coach, Kevin Green. He was out of the league for a couple of years, now he's come back to the Jets, and now they might be doing this with Jeremy Bates. Jeremy Bates was supposedly, you know, I think this is a Rich Cimini quote, a rising star before he left the NFL, but from what I've seen, there was nothing really too impressive when he was a part of the offensive coordinating staff with USC. Him and Morton were like, they were somewhere between 60 and 70 in offensive rankings, so it's not like they were, you know, a top 5 offense. That's kind of troubling. And Bates was also Pete Carroll's offensive coordinator with the Seahawks in 2010, but he got fired after 1 year, which is obviously not a good indictment on Bates. And then most recently, he was the Bears quarterback coach in 2012. So it's not a name who's really exciting me. The last couple of guys who haven't really been exciting me, none of these names have been over the top guys. You know, Kevin Green is probably going to be the best hiring in terms of the offense or in terms of the coaching staff all year. I just feel like a lot of these guys are thinking to themselves, you know, we're only going to have a year here or 2 years here. Obviously, Bowles, in my opinion, he should have been fired after this year. I stand strong with that opinion. And a lot of people are looking at him and saying that he might get fired after next year if he doesn't have a good year. So what really prominent offensive coach or positional coach wants to come to a team where the coaching staff might get turned over, you know, a year away from you being hired? So it's not anywhere that people are lining up to go. So we'll see. We'll see if he's a quarterback's coach. As of right now, from a lot of these people, it looks like that's probably going to happen. If that does happen, we'll obviously break him down more next week. And other small news, the Jets claimed Mike Penal. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. It might be Penal or whatever, but I'm going to say Penal for now.
defensive lineman who is 6'4", 332 pounds, 25 years old, from the Green Bay Packers. It's, you know, it's not a big deal. It's not like it's a big-name player. I don't necessarily like it just because you look at his year last year, and twice he violated the NFL's substance abuse policy. He was suspended for the first four games of last year and for the last four games of last year. He was an undrafted free agent in 2014. In those eight games last year that he did play, because like I said, you know, four plus four equals eight, so he can only play in the other eight. He only played 101 snaps, and he got, I believe it was seven or eight tackles, which is not really impressive, but I don't think this guy's going to make the active roster. 2015, he had five starts. He played in every single game, 25 tackles and one sack. The Jets also signed along, and listen, this a lot of this stuff. I know a lot of people who are listening to this, and thank you. We're still, you know, even last week, getting thousands of listeners a week, and that's thousands with an S. We appreciate everybody for listening. Especially this time, well, now the Super Bowl is over. There's not much to talk about at all. There's only rumors until the beginning of March, late February, where the some of these free agents start getting signed. Some of the Jets' own free agents, restricted and unrestricted, start getting signed and tendered, or traded, or whatever it may be, and, you know, we start to really look in at the free agency list and who's there, because, you know, you look at a lot of these guys, and what, about a month ago, maybe a couple of weeks ago, I was talking about free agency, and I was talking about, you know, Trumaine Johnson and Gilmore and Dre Kirkpatrick and Zach Brown and Zach Orr, who obviously retired. A lot of these guys are going to get re-signed with their team. It's not very, very often. Obviously, a few pop loose every year, but most good players get signed with their team as long as they're asking for a reasonable amount of money. But we'll really dive into that, because this is in a couple of weeks, and it's all this stuff really starts happening. But the Jets signed long snapper Josh Latham along with Zach Treiner a couple of weeks ago, so they're probably going to be looking to replace Tanner Purdom, who's been with the Jets for many, many years now. I have never really seen him make a mistake, at least of the last couple of years. I can't remember anything specifically that he's done wrong, you know, even snapping a ball high or low. I haven't really seen it from a guy like him. So, you know, we'll see. This is what you talk about on February 7th. You talk about long snappers getting signed. It is what it is. Next topic I've been hearing about a lot is Colin Kaepernick. I don't want it to happen. I know a lot of Jets fans don't want it to happen. I'm not going to get political. I just don't. I think he's a distraction. I really do. And if a lot of people listening to this show, if there's one thing that Woody Johnson cares about, I'm pretty sure we all agree on, you know, there's going to be some people who say, oh, yeah, well, winning. And I don't necessarily – I think number one is money. We saw that a lot with the Darrell Revis move. I think with Woody Johnson, he wanted – this is a move that he definitely made. He you know, with a new coaching staff coming in, new GM coming in, he wanted to have a splash move, a name somebody can put to the Jets offseason. Yeah, they got Revis, you know, $17 million cornerback, won the Super Bowl with the Patriots. And you look at the Tim Tebow move, obviously, in 2012. That was a complete Woody Johnson move. He likes ticket sales. He likes jersey sales. He likes merchandise sales. So – this is a move that would hurt him. And I can personally tell you that I wouldn't be going to many games if Kaepernick was the quarterback of the Jets. And whether you agree with me or disagree with me, I couldn't care any less. It's just my opinion. It is what it is. And let's face it, too. The last couple of years, has he been a good quarterback? And I don't think he has been. 29 years old, so he's not. He's a mid-level age quarterback, maybe a little bit on the younger side. But he's also a running quarterback, so he's taking more punishment, so that probably puts him more towards middle-aged quarterback. Last year, you know, look at his stats, 16 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, looks really nice, but then you look at the year before that, 6 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, the year before that, 19-10, 21-8, 10-3. In total, he has 72 touchdowns and 30 interceptions, which is actually pretty impressive. And obviously, those couple of years of the 49ers, he had a absolutely stacked offensive line, if not the best, one of the top three or top five best. I would probably say top three best in the NFL. You know, he had guys like Anquan Boldin,
in his prime, maybe a little bit towards the end of his prime. You had guys like Michael Crabtree, and Michael Crabtree is still just an absolute beast.
Still pretty good with the Raiders, but he's not as good as he used to be, in my opinion.
Obviously, a great defense with Bowman and the defensive line they had with a whole bunch of guys. Bowman and Willis, that's what I'm forgetting. I don't know how I can forget Patrick Willis. He's one of the best linebackers I've seen since I've been watching football. Just absolutely amazing. But they had an absolutely fantastic team. So he was supported by a really good staff around him and players around him. So he didn't have to do much. But if we're being honest, he did do a decent amount in those couple of years with the 49ers, and mostly because this week obviously it came out that he's going to be opting out of his contract. He's going to be looking for a new team, and of course, this being New York, everybody's going to link him to New York, and all the Jets need a quarterback. You know, he didn't get a fair shake. He didn't have good talent over there, but it's not a guy I want, especially in the last couple of years. You know, you look at the stats and, you know, okay, yeah, he's a good quarterback, but a lot of people said the same thing with Fitzpatrick, me, Glenn, Kyle, a lot of the callers, people who actually watched the film, look at Ryan Fitzpatrick, what was it, his 31 touchdowns, was it 16 interceptions? And we told you that he should have had much less touchdowns. You know, Decker and Marshall obviously saved him on a lot. Obviously still leave the ball there, but they still save them on a lot. You know, the Redskins is a great example. I think that was week five of 2015 where they played the Redskins. Maybe it was week six after the bye week. I forget exactly. I know it was five or six, but he throws a ball that should have been in the dirt, and Brandon Marshall makes an absolutely fantastic play, then takes it another 20, 25 yards for a touchdown. So that's just many examples. You know, the Giants game, I believe it was Marshall versus Mukamara. He just throws the ball up. He goes and gets it. Or Brandon Marshall versus the Colts, catches the ball, makes a really nice play after the catch. So if you actually watch the film, you can see some of the flaws these guys have. And it's kind of the same thing for – what did Nick Foles have a couple of years ago? I'm obviously talking to myself, but it was like 27 touchdowns or 26 touchdowns with two interceptions. And he was the hottest candidate on the market, and then the Rams brought him in, and he did absolutely nothing. He got benched after, I think it was less than half the season, or maybe right around half the season where he was getting benched, and people were already calling it a terrible signing, kind of like, you know, Brock Osweiler. But, you know, that's why you have to look past stats, and I just don't think he's a very good player. And I think he's a distraction, and I know – you know, a lot of the teammates in the locker room will support him, but then there's going to be another half of the locker room, or maybe even if it's 40, 30, 20% of people who don't support him, that's enough to really stir up a locker room, and, you know, it's not a good look. I don't like bringing him in. I wouldn't like bringing I don't like bringing necessarily, even though he's, you know, a pawn to this Jets team, the defensive lineman Mike Penal is just not – it's not a smart move. I don't want to bring in any of these distractions. You know, you bring in him, you have Sheldon, you have guys like Brandon Marshall, who this week, the quote, what was the quote? He said, he made a comment on First Take, I believe it was First Take. He said, I promise you I'll be in the top five of receivers this year, and I don't necessarily know if it was in receiving yards or touchdowns or whatever, but it's just a distraction. You don't want to say that. You know, it'd be top five, so then whoever the quarterback is, especially these young guys, Petty and Hackenberg, feel like they have to force him the ball. And you know, a lot of people might say, oh, you know, that doesn't really affect anything. But a lot of those people haven't been in a football locker room. That's kind of why with the whole Geno Smith thing, and I don't want to – I get into this every couple of weeks, but this week he put out some pictures of him, and I think the one was like he was working out. The other one he was like doing a – wow, I'm blanking out on the workout. It's called the sled. So, you know, football, you push the sled to have a weight on it. You gotta tilt the sled up and push it. I know there's a specific name for it, at least in my gym, but I'm forgetting what it's called. And I actually put out a picture of me at the gym and said, you know, if it works for Gino, it might work for me. Are any teams interested in me? Just because the guy works out does not mean he's a good quarterback and he's a leader. I don't get – And this is a lot of Jets Twitter. It's not one person. It's not two people. It's not 10 people. It's not 50 people. It's hundreds of people. They see a guy going to the gym and then tweet out, oh, I'll be back. Or they told me I wouldn't be back. I'll be back. And then people are commenting,
or quoting it. Oh yeah, great leader. The grind never stops. Yeah, Geno, this is what he's all about. You know, starting quarterback in 2017. This guy is obviously really passionate, dude. I go to the gym all the time. Kyle Smith goes to the gym all the time. Glenn probably goes to the gym all the time. There's thousands of people listening to the show. All of you, I would say at least half of you, or maybe a third of you, probably go to the gym 3 to 4 days a week. It's like an American culture. You know, you go to other cultures, Germany, people don't do that, but America, a lot of people go to the gym. It's just like the healthy age of America, even though, you know, we're still the most obese country by far in all of the world. But for the people, for that 30% of people who do go to the gym, there's a lot of you. And it's a lot of football fans, too. A lot of people who like football go to the gym. It just kind of is what it is, because they played the game, or, you know, they care about their fitness, or maybe it's because they're watching dudes who are 250 pounds, you know, run 4.3s, and they're like, hey, maybe I should go to the gym, too. But just because you go to the gym, you know, Kyle Catalona listens to the show. You go to the gym doesn't mean you're a good leader and you should go to the quarterback. He could be the biggest douche I know and can't play football at all. It's like it's just the dumbest thing ever, and it's so many people commenting on his post saying about how good of a leader he is because he goes to the gym. I'm actually. If I have time here, it's kind of hard to multitask doing, you know, Twitter, this, the computer, trying to get Glenn on all at the same time. But, you know, I'll try to tweet out a picture. I actually put it on, you know, making fun of Geno, but it is what it is. And people probably hate that I do that. There's probably some people who really just don't like me because of it. But like I said before, in the past, do I care? Guess what? I don't. It is what it is. I don't understand the love for Geno Smith. And, yeah, you know what, did he get a fair shake? Maybe not. You know, was he surrounded? And the reason being for that statement is in his first couple of years, 2013, 2014, he wasn't surrounded by any talent, if at all talent. He was working, you know, with Clyde Gates and David Nelson and Stephen Hill and an older, unmotivated Santonio Holmes. And he didn't get a shot with Decker and Marshall. In his last year, you know, he had Percy Harvin for a little bit. He had Decker. But he still makes the same mistakes. Even when he came in versus the, you know, the Raiders last year, when he came in versus the Ravens this year, he still made the same mistakes. You know, running out of bounds 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage instead of just chucking the ball out of bounds. It's not like he would have got intentional grounding, you know, taking sacks, holding onto the ball for way, way too long, throwing the ball into double coverage. So I just don't think he's going to develop into anything. And on top of that, he's a distraction. And if you don't think he's a distraction, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. I really don't know if I agree with you on anything. You know, you see the guy missing meetings. Regardless of what you think about the punch in the face situation, if you're just real and honest with yourself, you owe a guy $600 for a plane ticket. Regardless of how douchey IK and Apolli might have been being about the money, just give the guy his money. If you know it's going to cause a problem and it's already causing a problem in the locker room and you're trying to be that air quotes leader that everybody thinks you are, just give the guy $600. You know, $600 is less than I pay for season tickets. These guys are making millions of dollars. I can tell you right now, I'm not making anywhere close to millions of dollars. So it's just stupid immaturity to me right there with that. The post, the pouting on the sidelines, the pacing, the angry faces, all these things on Twitter. Mama told me to be patient. You know, everybody told me I'd fail. I'm coming back. I'm already running. Like, it's just shut up. Just go to a different team. I don't want to deal with Geno Smith anymore. Did he get necessarily a fair shake in terms of talent? No, he didn't. But the stuff with the benching and the way the Jets have treated him, they obviously see something. They see that immaturity. So they don't want him to play. And another thing that people don't think about, too, is all these people, you know, he's a leader. He went to I think it was with Mark Sanchez. Maybe it's a Geno Smith. It was like the Jets West Coast thing or whatever they do. But I know Geno does do some things in the offseason where he gets some guys together and he practices and all this stuff. And everybody's saying, oh, well, he didn't get a fair shot. Look at what he was doing with all these players. And, you know, in the offseason, they're working out. They're running together. They're throwing footballs. Then tell me one thing, and this is why was a mass majority of the team so excited when Fitzpatrick came back? If they had so much faith in Geno and he was going to play so well this year, just answer that question. And a lot of people, oh well, no, this guy and this guy, but you know, 10 out of 53 people is it, you know,
Is it a decent amount? Maybe, but it's not enough. It's just way too many people were excited with Fitz come back. So I'm done with Geno. I really, really am. Let's see. I guess we can get to some draft talk. There's really, like I said, this is probably going to be a really short show, especially if I don't figure out how to get Glenn on. And I don't know if you're going to hear ringing right now, but I'm going to attempt to try to get Glenn on Skype here. We'll see. If so, well, whatever it happens. You might hear like a hang-up thing. Maybe he just has bad connection, whatever it may be. But I heard Malik Hooker had a hernia. And somebody asked me about it on Twitter, and this is kind of why I'm addressing it. So he had a hernia surgery to remove the hernia, and he also had a torn labrum. And I know torn labrum is really bad with quarterbacks. Obviously, you're using your shoulder very, very much to throw the ball. But with the safety, it's not as big of a deal. And I think it was Matt Miller pointed this out. The last couple of weeks, he was dealing with that injury, and he was still playing very, very, very well. So that's just kind of even impresses me more that he was playing so well with that injury. So he doesn't drop for me. And I heard too that the Jets are really, really looking in to Deshaun Watson. And see, the thing is with this, and I have watched a couple of games of Deshaun Watson, especially with the first round guys. I really try to watch a lot of the tape, and I even try to get as deep as, you know, maybe 3, 4, 5 rounds, and then look at some sleepers that everybody is talking about. Because, you know, I do a show, obviously a lot of people who are very knowledgeable call into the show, so you want to know your stuff, and I just like to know in general because I like to know who I'm talking about, and that's why I thought Sherrone Peak was a really, really good pick in the 7th round last year. Did he prove a crazy amount this year? No, not necessarily. He was buried on a very good depth chart. But we'll see. But with Deshaun Watson, people know, you know, he's a leader, he's a winner. You know, I think he has good pocket presence where he runs around, he knows when pressure's coming. Obviously pretty good size, you know, 6'3", 215 is decent size for, or maybe a little bit, I'm not gonna say above average, I'll say decent size for a quarterback. He's obviously played in a bunch of big games. You know, he played in two years in a row against Alabama in the national championship game or the college football playoff, whatever you want to call it. Obviously the dual threat of him running the ball and being able to throw the ball, is great. We saw how much it helps with, you know, with Vic. We saw it help with Tyrod Taylor, where they really have to keep a spy on Tyrod, or he might, you know, just take it out for 10, 15, 20 yards. He's done it sometimes against the Jets, but you know, and then you have the weaknesses. I think he's inaccurate sometimes. There's times where he throws the ball behind somebody where he doesn't lead them. There's times where he hits somebody in a really tight window, and then there's times where he misses somebody on a slant route. So he is inaccurate. I think his deep ball accuracy isn't really consistent at all. I think he's had some bad games against some big or some smaller teams. I don't know. We'll see. I have to watch more film, but I've said it many, 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 many times. A lot of this stuff changes. Geno was supposed to be a top 10 pick. You know, Carson Wentz wasn't supposed to go as high as he did. It happens every single year. EJ Manuel was a 16th pick. Nobody would have thought that would happen with the Buffalo Bills. So stuff changes every single year. We'll see what happens. But if I had to give one my top, it probably would be Deshaun Watson right now. But like I said, this is February 7th. The draft is in about, 3 months? Or 2.5 months, whatever you want to say. So we'll get into it more then. But in terms of some of the guys, and we've talked about some of the guys I like at 6. As of right now, you have Mike Williams, who's the Clemson wide receiver, 6'3", 225. Just this guy looks like an A.J. Green, you know, Julio Jones type of lanky, really fast guy. I would say maybe more of A.J. Green. And I don't necessarily like doing player comparisons, but Julio we saw in the Super Bowl, which I'll get into for – I guess a couple of minutes. It's not going to be a long one tonight. I can guarantee you it's not going to be 2 hours. I'll be surprised if it's even an hour. But Mike Williams, you know, 6'3", 225, just just runs absolutely fantastic routes every time I watch him. He's kind of like, you know, and I can use this example with Robbie Anderson, because even though Robbie Anderson does have some drops, but the same way that he catches the ball away from his body, same thing that Mike Williams does, which is a very good trait for receivers. That's one of the things I look for first. I do not like body catchers. Stephen Hill was the epitome of a body catcher, and we saw how well he turned out. I don't even know if he's in the NFL anymore. I know after the Jets, he was on the Carolina Panthers practice squad for a little bit, but after that, I have no idea where he is. And he has that ability, kind of like Brandon Marshall, too, where and a lot of good receivers. You see this with Marshall, Green, you know, OBJ, all these guys. And I'm not comparing him to them. He could come into the NFL and be a bust. It happens all the time. But in terms of college, he's able to snag inaccurate passes. You know, let's say a post route. You know, it's 5 yards behind where it's supposed to be, and you know you have to turn around and adjust to it and do a 360 in the air to grab the ball. He's able to do that stuff. I see him do that all the time. So he would be, you know, if the Jets liked him at six, I would take him at six. And a lot of people are talking, oh, well, you know, the Jets are so deep at that position. I think me and Glenn or me and Kyle might have talked about it. I'm not even sure if it was on this show. But if you're not going to take Mike Williams as a guy who people think is, you know, he's obviously the top receiver in the draft. A lot of people think he could be, you know, an A.J. Green. Some people aren't as high on him. But if you think he could be that, and you're not going to take a guy like him, because let's face it, you know, Brandon Marshall might be gone. If it was up to me, Brandon Marshall would be gone. A lot of people know my feelings on him. Decker, I think he should be back because he's a great red zone threat. He's going to help a young quarterback. He's still relatively young, but he is battling some injuries. But if in the future, let's say 3-4 years, let's just say 3 years from now, or even 2 years from now, Decker's off the team, Marshall's off the team, you're absolutely okay. Because let's face it, we've said it before, the Jets are not making the playoffs this year. They're probably not making the playoffs next year. Let's just face reality. If you are absolutely ecstatic and you can't take another receiver in the draft because you have a Nunwa, who, yeah, he might be a number. He might be, as of right now, he's a number two to me. A number two can do a lot of things. To call him a number one at this point in his career, I don't think that's a smart statement. Do I think he can be that? Do I think he has the physical traits, you know, a big dude who can block and has blazing speed? Can he be that? Yes, but at this point, I don't think he's that. He has to work on his route running. He does, even though he did improve his hands massively from his first couple of years, his hands are still inconsistent where he drops easy balls, and then there's a play where he makes an absolutely amazing catch, but still, you need those consistent hands. It's one of the most important things about being a wide receiver, if not the most important, you know, wide receiver you have to receive, which includes catching the ball. So I think he's a number two. Robbie Anderson, yeah, did he have a fantastic rookie year for an undrafted guy? Yes, but if you're going to bank on him to be a number one or number two or maybe even a number three for the rest of his career off of what we saw this year, I think you're a little bit crazy. I think that's a little bit because the Jets haven't developed some great young wide receivers, and we get excited when we see one who might potentially be good. And there's some people who think Robbie Anderson, you know, can he do – this might have been our friend Kyle Smith who brought this up maybe on this show – where he was talking about, you know, there's people who think that Robbie Anderson might be a one-trick pony where he's going to run down the field on nine routes and that's all he's really going to be able to do, or maybe post routes, because does he really have the size to run over the middle? Maybe, you know, is he tough? Can he take that hit? Yeah, but in terms of his body size, you know, he's 6'1", 6'2". He's 100 and I think it says 190. On his like scouting report and on NewYorkJets.com, I would bet a lot of money he's not 190. I'll give him 175, maybe 170. He's just not a big guy, and he's not going to be able to do that stuff. It's hard for a guy, regardless of how good your technique is, if you're 175, 180 pounds, to break off of a corner going inside. You know, outside might be different. You know, we saw him do it with Richard Sherman, but breaking inside is a whole different game. That's where you get hit by linebackers. That's where you get hit by safeties. It's just – it gets messy in there, and I don't know if it necessarily has a size to do that. So you're banking on him to become a number one or two. You're banking on a Nunwa to become a number one or two. Jalen Marshall is a complete question mark. If anything, I don't think he's going to be that great of a player. I think he showed some things on in terms of offense. I think he had two or three touchdowns. But in terms of returning, he was terrible. But, you know, to bank on him, oh, okay, yeah, he's going to be a really good receiver. I think that's foolish. And same thing with Peak. So I think that's why Mike Williams could be in play, because really you're only looking at Anunua, who I think has a really good shot of being something great in the future, or something very solid. I think Anderson has a chance, but to not take a guy like a Mike Williams if they think he's really good, because you have, you know, Brandon Marshall and Decker and some really good guys behind him for a couple of years, I think that's foolish, especially when the Jets should be building towards the future. So that's my reason. Jamal Adams, we've talked about him. You know, the LSU safety, a lot of people are kind of marking him as a strong safety. I think he could do both. And positions in the NFL are weird. You know, obviously on the depth chart, you're a strong safety, but you could be a strong safety who plays in coverage a lot. It happens all the time. I believe Troy Polamalu was a strong safety. He played in coverage all the time. And, you know, most people remember his YouTube highlights where he's coming up and jumping over the line and nailing people in the run game, but he could cover too. Was he as good in coverage in the run as in the run game? No, he wasn't. But he could still cover. Same thing with Brian Dawkins. I think Brian Dawkins, I think technically on the depth chart, he was a free safety, but he was a guy who could do both. We saw him come up in the run game all the time. If you watch a highlight film on Brian Dawkins, that's what he does. But he was a free safety, so that doesn't make sense. So,
hold on.
Coffee is more important than talking about Brian Dawkins. Sorry, guys. But Jamal Adams is that same type of guy, all-around player. I think he's a playmaker. I see him make a lot of plays at LSU. I think he tackles very well. Like I said, you see him more in the box when you watch these games, but he can cover. People have compared him to Eric Berry. We'll see about that. Eric Berry is a very, very good player. And the thing with Hooker, too, is a lot of people – I just talked about Hooker before. I think he has – Some of his playmaking ability is just absolute. It's freakish. It really is. The ball hawk, the agility, the break. You know, as soon as the ball is thrown or when he notices a quarterback is going somewhere, the break he has in the ball is crazy, crazy athletic to me. Great range. He, and listen, he does miss some tackles. I think this is actually his first year starting at safety as a full-time safety. So that can obviously be improved on. Maybe be his second. I have to do a little bit more research, but definitely you can improve on. You can improve on tackling. But there are times, and if you turn on the film, I think I'm trying to remember. Maybe it was Oklahoma. I'm blanking on it, but I think it is Oklahoma who I watched almost a full game of him. And he'll come up in the run game and he'll destroy people. He might miss some easy tackles and whiff a couple people, but he will destroy some people. He will throw his body into you. So hopefully he can improve on that. But that's my personal pick at six as of right now. So those are the two safeties. Obviously you have some corners we can look at. You can look at Marshawn Lattimore, 6'1", 190, pass breakups last year. Hold on. And now we have a caller. I'll bring the caller on. 856. What is up?
Hey Joe, it's Akeem. How you doing?
Doing good, man. I thought Glenn was going to join me this show, but apparently he lost his computer or he lost connection or something, but been running solo, so I guess I've been good. How about you, man?
Yeah, good. Just on a break from work. Man, I really feel bad for Glenn, though. You know, all we can do is just pray for him here from the United States and just wish him well.
Hakeem, listen. Since I'm doing the show, you should feel bad for me because I'm the one doing it solo. Glenn is over there in England chilling and probably sleeping right now while I'm doing the show. So don't feel bad for him. Feel bad for me, Hakeem. No, I'm kidding though. Obviously, you know, I hope everything is well. I think his computer is just kind of hit the connection over there is crap for him right now. So it's not a big issue. But Hakeem, there's not too much to talk about. So I'll ask you about something that I saw all over Twitter. And that's a couple of quarterbacks who have been rumored to the Jets. They're not really rumored, but a lot of fans are talking about them. They say they might opt out of their contract or whatever, and they get excited. What do you think about Jay Cutler? You know, Mike Francesa, I don't listen to him. I don't personally like him, but I heard that he's saying that Cutler may want to come to New York. So what would your thoughts be on Jay Cutler and New York Jet?
No thank you for me. I know he also has a severe injury in his throwing shoulder. So that's never going to help. And he's just a diva. Like right now we need young team first type attitude players, and he just has too much baggage. And I don't, you know, if he comes in, then I don't know if we can even keep Brandon Marshall still on the roster. So there's always that chaos over there. But no, a hard pass for me on Cutler.
Yeah, and you're talking about the drama too, and that was a good point about the drama. I didn't even mention that before I talked about it. I've been saying it for weeks. I don't want anybody who's drama-filled. I don't want anybody who's showing lack of effort. It's why I want to get rid of Revis. It's why I want to get rid of Marshall. Hakeem, what is? I don't know if I've asked. Have I asked your opinion on Brandon Marshall? Do you still want him around?
Yeah, I think we talked about it a little bit. I do actually want to keep him around, only because Brandon Marshall demands the number one defensive back attention. So he really opens everything up for Eric Decker and Quincy Enunwa. So, and his price tag is pretty reasonable for quote-unquote number one wide receiver. I know he's not like an elite wide receiver, but he's still a pretty damn good one. And I truly believe if we are able to get Tyrod Taylor, basically a competent quarterback, I think Brandon Marshall can easily catch 100 balls. I know he had a rough year last year, but, you know, everything for the Jets went wrong last year. So I'm actually in favor of keeping Brandon Marshall. The only time I will get rid of Brandon Marshall is if we draft a receiver in the first or second round that can basically replace him. Because then I'll move on from him because that's more signaling, you know, a youth movement rebuild, and I would clear his $7.5 million off the books. But I'm in favor of keeping him as of right now.
Yeah, I've voiced my opinion on it before. I don't want to keep him, and I want to go. And that's the main reason is because I want a youth movement. I don't think the Jets are going anywhere this year. I don't think they're going anywhere next year. Like I said, I don't want necessarily a distraction in the locker room. And there's been some questions: is he a distraction? But we see the things with Sheldon Richardson. We see him coming out now saying I'm gonna be a top five receiver. Then him saying I'll play for free. I'll take a pay cut. To I've never said that. To making different statements on different radio shows. I don't like the drama. And I feel like he's been involved in a lot of that recently. And the next quarterback I was going to ask you about was Kaepernick. You said you don't like the drama, so I'm assuming you wouldn't want Kaepernick. That's something that people have rumored now that, you know, Morton was with him in San Francisco, and look how good he did. There's a couple of the, you know, the Super Bowl run and the championship games. What is your thoughts on Colin Kaepernick in New York, Jed?
Yeah, for the money I think that Kaepernick will command, I don't think he's actually worth it. And I do believe he'll bring a lot of drama with him. I don't think it's something the Jets organization is going to go for because it just comes with too much bad publicity. But would I take a one-year flyer on him? Like, with looking at our quarterback situation, I probably would. But it's got to be for the right price. We got to be able to get out of a deal. I'm not guaranteeing any significant money. Realistically, maybe we just sign a veteran stopgap for 1 year and we and I'd be in favor of drafting another quarterback. Not particularly high. Maybe somewhere in the late rounds, you know, just try to get a nice prospect. And just because we need to find a quarterback. And I'm a firm believer that we can only find one through the draft because franchise quarterbacks don't appear on the free agency market.
Yeah, I think Woody Johnson cares about ticket sales and he cares about merchandise, and I think this move would hurt his pockets. We saw with the San Francisco 49ers when a lot of that stuff with the national anthem was happening. You know, on top of the fact that they sucked, that he was doing this, and there was games where they had like 5,000 people in the stadium. So I don't think it would be a good move publicly. And to build a team around Kaepernick, you know, 29 years old, he's decently young. I just don't think it's smart to do that. Just don't bring in that drama to New York. That'll get blown out of proportion. You think that's bad in San Francisco? Bring that to New York. It's going to be a whole other monster. So I wouldn't want that. And you talk about quarterbacks in the draft, Hakeem. And I know I was literally just talking about Mike Williams, and I don't think that the guys we have on our roster should hinder us from drafting him at six if they really loved him. You know, if they felt like he was going to be A.J. Green, you know, then go ahead and do it. But I'll move off of that, and I talk about the safeties, you know. But let's say the Jets, and I don't think I've asked you this before, the Jets had to draft a quarterback at six. They were dead set on a quarterback at six. Let's say all of them were there. Do you have any preference? I think Watson's my preference if they're going to go one. I'm not going to lie to everybody and say I watched all of their games. I watched a couple of each, but as of right now, Watson's my favorite. I don't know what your opinions are on the quarterbacks.
Yeah, before I get into the quarterback, I'll say I agree with you on the Mike Williams situation. If we love him, we should definitely take him. I don't care how our receiver position looks. We should definitely grab him. But out of the quarterbacks in this draft, Deshaun Watson is my first-ranked quarterback. But he's basically – I have him number 18 on my big board, and he's the first quarterback ranked there. So I don't want to take him at six, but if I have to, then I'll take Deshaun. Trubisky, he's a one-year wonder, but I really don't like the size of his hands. I think he has very small hands, and I don't think that can play well in a cold weather stadium that we're in. So I don't like Trubisky in that sense. I think he's a good prospect, and he can develop into a good player. Kizer, I like more of his tools, but, I don't think he had some bad games in Notre Dame. Obviously, the coaching staff didn't help him at all. But, if these quarterbacks were actually drafted at their true value, then we should, be able to, maybe move back into the end of the first or get one of these guys in the second round. But, of course, they're going to go super high way before than they should. And I would rather take Watson because I love his leadership, that he brings. He finished school in 3 years. That's no easy task, especially when you're the star quarterback of a freaking perennial powerhouse. He's just got an uncanny ability to make plays. I still think he's developing to making reads from the pocket, but he always gives his receiver a chance. And I love the freaking explosive plays he can make out of the backfield by running the ball. I think, quarterbacks that have that athleticism, they really help out your run game significantly, especially when they're going to operate from the pistol formation. Just imagine him handing the ball off potentially to Bilal Powell, but if the outside linebacker commits to Powell, he can scoop it back in and run around to the outside for, a nice game. That will open our offense up significantly. So if we had to go with one, I'm definitely going Watson. I do believe he's going to be a really good player at the next level.
Yeah, I think he has the best potential to be a really good player out of all these quarterbacks. And like you said with Trubisky, and, a lot of people say, what does hand size really matter? Just go out with somebody with small hands and try to throw a football when it's 35 degrees out and snowing or raining. It makes a difference. In terms of throwing tight spirals, in terms of making into a tight window, in terms of holding onto the ball when you're getting hit from an outside linebacker from your blind side, it makes a difference. It really does. People don't think like that, but people who know football know that it makes a big difference. So I completely agree with you on Trubisky. We'll see. I'm not in love with Kizer. A lot of people like Mahomes a lot. I'm not the biggest fan. I've said it before. I don't think that any of them are really necessarily worth taking at six. But a lot of people shoot up boards depending on, the pre-draft interviews. Like you said, finishing college in 3 years, people are going to be impressed by that. If he speaks very well and he sounds very intelligent in interviews, he might shoot up the boards. It happens every single year. These quarterbacks, quarterback is obviously the most important position in the NFL. So they're going to rise. People get desperate. People get sweaty hands, and they just choose a quarterback. It happens literally every single year that I can remember. And since you were talking about the running back with Powell, is there any guys you like in the draft? And it's actually, let me first start with, a lot of people are talking about Leonard Fournette or Cook at six. What is your thoughts about, one taking a running back at top 10 in the draft, especially at six, and then what are your thoughts about those two guys?
Yeah, those guys are elite prospects. I think blue chip first rounders all the way. But at six, I don't value running backs that high. I honestly do believe that these guys are potential game breakers at their respective positions. But Dalvin Cook has too many fumbling problems for me, per se. And he might have a shoulder issue too, which might be, causing those fumbles, which is even scarier to even think about. So I like him, but not at six. And as Fournette, who I have as my highest rated running back, I like him a lot too, but not at six. I would much rather prefer a safety or you know, an outside linebacker, edge type rusher. But you know, there's a lot of good running backs. There's this class is very deep at running back. I know 18 underclassmen running backs have declared already. And the senior class was loaded to begin with. There's going to be undrafted free agents that are just great running backs. So I would love to wait. You know, I there's a lot of great prospects. I think Corey Clement from Wisconsin can be had in the later round. Donnell Pumphrey. I think Deontay Foreman is a potential high first-round pick or a second-round pick. If you get Deontay Foreman in the second round, there's a power run game right there. You can just hand him the ball times the game, and he's going to wear down that defense. He's going to take pressure off whoever the quarterback is. So I would, you know, I'm very much in favor of bringing in a running back in our draft class, even getting one in the undrafted free agent pool. But obviously I'm keeping, you know, Bilal and Matt Forte only because, you know, his full salary is on our books and we can't get mm-hmm. rid of any of that money. But yeah, this running back class is so loaded. There's so many good players. But at number six, I'm not in favor of taking Fournette or Cook.
Yeah, and a lot of people are talking about getting rid of Forte, but I think people, you know, just if you go on Google and you type in Matt Forte over OTC for overthecap.com, almost all of his salary we would have to pay him if he's not on this team. So we're basically paying him the same amount if he's here or not here. He's going to be on this team. I think him and Powell should split the number one reps, if not Powell getting 60-40 with Forte, because you know, we saw it last year and the year before, Powell just very explosive, and I think he could be a solid, you know, 1A running back. I don't necessarily think he should be the guy who's getting every, you know, 90% of the carries, but in terms of, you know, 60-40 splitting with Forte, I think he could do that. And like you said, I'd rather get a guy, you know, third, fourth, fifth, sixth round in the draft, because I think a lot of good guys come out of those rounds. Let's look at the Super Bowl, for example. Devontae Freeman is considered, you know, a top 10, 15 back, a guy who could do everything, and he was drafted in, what, the fourth round? Somebody who can – I guess you can correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's the fourth round. but Freeman's a very good player. We see a lot of really, really good running backs come out really late, if not undrafted. So take a guy at six, I don't agree with it. I have never agreed with it because, you know, while running back is kind of you can hit on it a lot, there are some misses. You know, Trent Richardson's the prime example. The Browns took him at – what pick was that? I can't even remember. Maybe it was three. And he was one of the worst running backs I've ever seen play in the NFL. So – it's just it happens. And with Fournette, and I went at it not I didn't go at it. I think Alex Rufio, one of our loyal listeners, was asking me if I would take him at six, or maybe it was somebody else. But you know, Fournette, while he does have, you know, some really good tangibles, he's already battled some injury problems early in his college career and even this year. And for a guy whose shelf life in the NFL is only, you know, 5-6 years, if he's lucky, a guy who's already been battling injuries, it's not a guy I want to take it with the sixth pick. I want a guy who's going to be good for, you know, 10 to 12 years in the top 10. That's the players you look for. So not for me. I think you can get 90, you know, 85, 90% of the player 3-4 rounds later. There's running backs all over the place this draft, and every draft there's guys who come out really, you know, really late who are really good. So Hakeem, we were talking about the safeties. We talked about Adams. We talked about Hooker. Hooker had a surgery on a torn rotator cuff, and I believe he had another one on a hernia repair. I guess they removed the hernia, whatever it was. Does that worry you at all? Would that like deflect you from taking him at six? Because to me personally, it wouldn't, because a torn rotator cuff, yeah, it's a big injury, but for a guy who's a safety, it's not as big as if it's a quarterback. And a hernia, you know, it's a hernia. It's not like it's a reoccurring thing. So,
yeah, no, I love Adams. I love Hooker, and the injury, you know, scenarios that's happening with Hooker, keeping him out of the combine, definitely sucks. I hope he can make it back for his pro day to run a little bit. But no, I'm still taking him, regardless of the injury, regardless if I can't see him work out at the combine or even his pro day, maybe. Matt Miller was saying that he was playing through these injuries through the season. So already right now, you know, you got a warrior that can play through injuries and still compete at a high level. So that's the type of player you want. Everyone gets injured throughout the league. Everyone's going to get bruised up, you know, get beaten down, and they're going to have some games where they're just not feeling 100%. But how do you play through that? And Hooker in one season alone has proven that he can play through injuries and he can just dominate the, you know, the back zone over there by himself. So I love Hooker a lot. And yeah, Joe, you're absolutely right. Devonta Freeman, fourth round pick, and Trent Richardson, third overall. So great memory on your part. You know, and I wanted to actually propose a question to you, because let's say the safeties are off the board, Jamal Adams, and we already know, let's say we're moving on from Sheldon Richardson. We already traded him for a whatever draft pick. Would you take Jonathan Allen if he is there? I know most people would just say no right off the bat because of what we have already on the defensive line. But I would sit down and think about it for a long time. I wanted to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, no, because the problem we've had with Sheldon Richardson and Mo Wilkerson and Leonard Williams is they're all, you know, interior defensive linemen. You know, can they play five tech? Yeah, but they really should be three technique defensive linemen. They can play five tech sometimes, but I think they're all better at three technique. And you're looking at Jonathan Allen, who is more of an interior guy as well, a guy, you know, 6'3", 291, a guy who's going to be a three tech or a one tech, or can probably even have some plays where he's, you know, zero tech, heads up over the center. So to bring in another guy like that, yeah, you know, people are saying he could be a really, really good player and is a top five player in this draft, some people at least. To add another guy in and to have that problem all over again, you know, for the next couple of years, you know, where does he fit in? Can the Jets play a 4-3 with him? Can he play as a five tech? Can he play as a, you know, a seven? Can he play off the edge? Can, you know, is he going to play outside linebacker? Is Leonard Williams going to be playing outside linebacker? So I'd rather keep Leonard Williams and Wilkerson inside where they're comfortable and not have to worry about that stuff, and not have that problem happen all over again. Kind of just like with, you know, before Sheldon Richardson, what was wrong with Copels? We had Copels at outside linebacker. He's supposed to be a defensive end. So I don't want Allen. If one of those guys, are, you know, if let's say Allen and Hooker off the board, you know, Mike Williams, the Jets don't want a receiver. They're not high on any of the they're not high on any of the, you know, they don't want a running back, or they're not high on any of the quarterbacks. I'm looking for a corner, and I'll throw that question back to you. Is there any, you know, who is your top corner? Do you like any guy more than the other? Because as of right now, I think my top two are Lattimore from Ohio State, and I really like Jalen Tabor, too, from Florida. I don't know if you have a different top two, and do you think any of those guys are worth the sixth overall pick if the scenario you're saying is happening?
Yeah, there's some great corners in this class. But as of now, my highest rated corner is number 11, and that's Quincy Wilson, the counterpart from Tabor. Huh? And I think he's got some really nice coverage skills, and I think it's going to translate well. I think he's going to develop nicely. But then that's as high as 11, so I really don't want to take a corner. But I love Lattimore, too, and I think he can shoot up my board. And that would probably be the only player that I would actually really be okay with is if we took Lattimore or Quincy Wilson at six. But I would rather, even before we took them, go with an edge rusher, either Derek Barnett or Solomon Thomas, instead of a corner, just mm-hmm. because I have Derek Barnett rated as my number eight, with Solomon Thomas following behind at number 10. I like those players a lot, and I think edge rusher is such a dynamic position. It's so important, so valuable. And that's why you see the Jets drafting one every year. And I think we're going to continue that trend and draft another one this year, because just getting to the quarterback is so important. And an edge rusher can really change our defense. Just the same way Malik Hooker can change our defense, a fantastic edge rusher can drastically change our defense. It can take pressure off of our corners. It can take pressure off of our defensive line, you know, for not always commanding that they have to get all their interior pressure. So I think an edge rusher could really be a nice pick. I would be happy with Solomon Thomas at number six, even Derek Barnett at number six, but not so much. But, like, obviously I want Hooker. That's my priority. That's my number one, like, guy I want realistically. Obviously Myles Garrett is my number one. But and as far as Jonathan Allen, the only reason I would want him is if we were moving to a 4-3. because I do believe he can play the defensive end spot from, going up against their left tackle, play it well. And then we would have, four stud defensive linemen, across the board. You'd have Allen, Leonard Williams, and then you got, Mo Wilkerson. And then, of course, you get rid of Richardson. You can't keep all of them. But, and then maybe, Deion Simon in the middle. I think Wilkerson can play that end spot. He's played it for a long time for us, and he's pretty good there. But I understand completely. I mean, look, I'm not expecting to Allen. I just wanted to propose that question. He's a really good player. I like him a lot. But, man, this draft is so loaded. Honestly, if we could trade back, that would be pretty cool because we need some more pieces. And just excited to see what happens for us.
Yeah, and you mentioned a couple things there. I'll try to hit on all of it. But, yeah, I think Marshon Lattimore is the only corner I would consider taking with the sixth pick. I just think, a guy who's really raw at the position has only been playing there for – I believe he's only been a starter there for a year. 6'1", 190, just a really sticky guy. I think he has a lot of room to grow. That's the only guy I would consider there. And with Allen, the only thing at defensive end that I've seen from him, him being out wide, I don't think he has great length. To be an outside defensive end because you need that length. And a lot of these guys, DeMarcus Ware's have that length. And I don't necessarily think he has that. You look at guys like Von Miller, he's just a freak. He's so fast that it doesn't even matter how tall he is. So that's kind of an anomaly. But I don't necessarily think he would fit there, too well. And, yeah, maybe he could fit there and play pretty good. But if I'm taking a guy that's six, I want to put him in a perfect position to be successful. And I don't think that's necessarily the perfect position for him to be successful out that wide. But and then you mentioned Hooker, too, with the injury. And that was Matt Miller. I think I mentioned that before. For a guy to show that range and that burst to a ball with a, you forget the torn labrum. Yeah, you can still run with a torn labrum. But with a hernia, running that fast and breaking that fast on a ball is ridiculously impressive. Hernias suck. I don't know if anybody's had a hernia. I thought I had one, and I didn't even have it. It was a mild form of a hernia, and I thought I was dying. So, for him to be playing with that is really, really impressive. So I completely agree with you. He's my number one guy as of right now. And Hakeem, I know you have to go back to work, so I want to ask you just one more question, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit. It's not anything related to do with the Jets, but what are your thoughts on that freaking Super Bowl, man? Because I was heartbroken.
Yeah, that Super Bowl was insane. And it was just a, very entertaining game the whole way through. I was glued to the TV all along, and I knew that Atlanta wasn't going to pull away without a fight from New England. But they made some key mistakes at the end, which obviously cost them, but it was just a freaking amazing game from all the big plays, from just the execution. I was just talking to my friends about it while we were watching the game. All of the play designs were just phenomenal. They were just using some great designs, having, receivers stacked on top of each other, just running great routes, making great catches. It was just a great game overall. And, damn, those two teams are so talented. It's ridiculous. And obviously it sucks because we all hate Brady, but we got to give it to him. He's the best. And, it sucks because obviously we were rooting for the Falcons and we were probably all so hyped after halftime when they scored an opening drive touchdown. And then all of our hearts are broken by the end of overtime. It was just a phenomenal game. I was really happy just as a fan, just enjoying that game. It was wonderful. It's going to go down in history. So, hey, it's a new year now. Everyone's back to 0-0. The Patriots, they can celebrate for, a few more months. But I'm already focused on, building us to become a contender. So, I'm excited for what we have in store for this offseason. I think it's going to be a transitional offseason. But hopefully we can make some good moves. Oh, and I forgot to mention this. The quarterback that I'm targeting in the draft is actually Tyrod Evans from Virginia Tech. And I was actually – he's an underclassman. I was surprised that he even declared because he's pretty raw. But I think we can have him in the fourth and fifth round. And, Joe, take a look at him because he reminds me a little bit of Cam Newton. He's a huge guy, and he's very athletic. So take a look at him, and next week we'll talk about him and see what you think. But, man, hey, thanks for having me on, like always, Joe. All right, and I wish you the best of luck. take care.
Yeah, thanks, man. I'll definitely take a look at him. And you mentioned too, and you know, I'll let you go. It's with the outside linebacker and the pass rush. It's one of the most important things in the game. You know, obviously you have the quarterback, the offensive line, and then just the pass rush in general in the secondary. The reason the Falcons were really holding the Patriots because they were only rushing four or five guys and they were getting pressure to Brady. And that's because some of the defensive linemen and the outside linebackers they have in their speed. So if the Jets can add that to their defense, it's huge. We saw what it did to the Patriots in the first half. We saw what it did to the Cam Newton against the Broncos last year. So it's a very important position. So I agree with you there. And Hakeem, we definitely appreciate the call, man. I'll look up that quarterback and I'll do some research, and then we can definitely talk about him next week.
Sounds good, Joe. All right, take care.
Have a good one.
All right, so big thanks to Hakeem. Talked about a lot of the draft there, and the draft is interesting. Obviously, you know, when you have the sixth pick and there's so many options, you have the Marshawn Lattimores and Hookers and Adams and Williams and Watson and Trubisky and Kaiser or Mahomes or whoever you like. In terms of the quarterback, you know, trading up, trading down, a lot of movement. The last couple of drafts, everybody says, "Oh, well, this draft is going to be the most movement in trades we've ever seen." And then, end of the first round, there's like a trade or two, and then everybody's like, "Oh, I was not expecting that." So you're going to hear, and I'm going to say this a lot in the offseason. I'm going to say it weeks before free agency. I'm going to say it weeks before the draft. There are so many rumors floating around right now. Do not listen to anything you hear, even if it's from Matt Miller, even if it's from one of these guys, Daniel Jeremiah. Just don't listen to it. You know, I see a lot of things on Twitter. The Jets are meeting with Malik Hooker, let's just say, hypothetically. Oh, my God, he's there. They're going to take him. There's no doubt about it. There's phone calls. Because I remember when we drafted Calvin Pryor, it was 2014. People were saying, you know, Brandon Cooks might not be there. And, you know, Brandon Cooks was confident that if he's there when the Jets pick, I believe, at 16, that they were going to take him. And they were so keen on him. And they were saying they might try to get him. And then, you know, we're on the clock and they go up and it's Calvin Pryor. I'm like, what the hell? Like, I loved Brandon Cooks. I really did like him coming out of college, some of the plays he made. The Jets took Pryor and it is what it is. But there's so many rumors and all these guys will guarantee, well, the Jets will take Cooks if he's there. Calvin Pryor, safety, Louisville. Like, so there's so many rumors. There's to me so many rumors about people. In terms of the draft, just because the Jets interview somebody does not mean they're going to take him. It's called doing their due diligence. They could interview 1,000 guys that can all be there on the board when they pick, and they cannot take any one of them. They could not like the interview. You can go to an interview and blow it. So it's stupid. Same thing with free agency. The Jets are meeting with, like, yeah, I think, I guess free agency is a little bit different because if they're meeting with somebody, they usually have them in the building, and they usually sign the contract, just like we did with Decker. We didn't let Decker leave. He signed the contract. So I guess it's a little bit different, but still so many rumors and smoke screens. Let's just not go crazy. Let's not get phone calls about, you know, they interviewed this guy and this guy and this guy, and oh, my God. Like, because just we all think we know what's going to happen. They're going to take – okay, so at 6, they're going to – I can almost guarantee that they're going to take Malik Hooker, Jamal Adams, or Deshaun Watson, if one of them are there. They could – 2 of them could be on the board, and they can go Marshawn Lattimore. And then we're all sitting here baffled because we thought they would take Malik Hooker. So it happens a lot. We will see, and we talked about Marshawn Lattimore, talked about some of the little things. Me and Glenn, I guess a little preview into next week, I talked about Brandon Marshall too. I don't know if and Glenn has done more research on this, that's why I'd rather hold it for next week, or I'll talk about it a little bit now, but Deron Lee might have a little bit of a head issue, a little bit of a mental issue, because there's a lot of times where he goes off on Twitter, then he deletes it, or he'll tweet for a couple months and then delete every single one of his tweets. It's just kind of odd behavior. And then Glenn was telling me that, you know, after Deron Lee tweeted something, Deron Lee's mom tweeted something like, oh, it's tough to be a full-time mom, always have to watch out or something like that. And then supposedly, you know, we got jumped in a club, and then he thanked the police, but then the police, there was no police report, and they declined to comment. So people are thinking that he might have made it up. So I guess we'll do some more digging. We can see what we can find there. But that's just a little preview into next week, because Glenn has a lot more information than I do on that. That's why I would have liked him to join, but it happens. He might have had – I'm pretty sure he had a bad connection. I know Glenn would never just ditch you out, because I was talking to him about an hour before the show.
And you're, I guess England, just terrible phones, terrible connections, just terrible everything. Other than some food and stuff, I think Glenn should just move back to Jersey, or you know, South Jersey. He's right by Philadelphia, and call it a day. It was a nice experience trying to live in England, but I think it's just better here. I think it's a lot easier, especially in terms of doing the show. I guess that's going to be it for the show. There's not too much to talk about. I know in the show preview I talked about, you know, we'll go through some of the free agents and stuff like that. I've already basically done that, so I would like to just really get Glenn's opinion on that, who he want to bring back, what free agents he's targeting. In the next couple of shows, we'll do what we've done every year. You know, we'll go through the top 25 Jets, you know, some of the top plays, some of these little side fun topics that we do, overrated, underrated, you know, star player on this side of the ball, top plays. We're going to start doing those types of things in the next couple of weeks. Hopefully there will be some news. Hopefully next week we'll have a quarterback coach. Hopefully we'll hear some more rumors because, you know, even though I just said I hate rumors, because it's just stupid to really listen to any of it. But when it's February 7th, next week's going to be February 14th, we're doing the show. There's not much other to talk about than rumors, so hopefully there are some we can talk about them. Just hypothetical situations, not many of them ever take place, but we can do that. Thank you again to everybody who listened. Thank you to Chris from Rock Pile Report. I don't know if he listens. I think he's listened before. He probably will listen this episode because I featured his his whole intro and all that because it was great. I want to play it again because I think it's really good. And if you want, I doubt it, but I'll just send out another huge thanks to him and I'll just play it again because I think it is really, really pretty cool. Hold on.
Welcome aboard Flight 1969, service to Jet Nation Radio.
Look at what a leader this guy is.
Bolt is fighting for his job this year.
This is what quarterbacks are made of.
Doug Middleton, get a 50-yard onside kick. How stupid can you possibly be making that much money?
Folks, grab a snack.
Let's go to eat a goddamn snack.
And join Joe Blewett and Glenn Naughton for Jet Nation Radio.
So huge thanks for him. You got the PA announcement. If you don't get the 1969 flight announcement, then you have some problems. But think about what was very important for the New York Jets. That was 1969. I'm not trying to be a sexual joke or anything there, Chris. I know exactly who he's going for. You have the Rex Ryan snacks. You have the jet taking off and landing. You have a lot of good stuff. So I really, really appreciate Chris from doing that. Took time out of his day or you know time out of multiple days to do that for us. So that's a huge shout out to him. Thank you to all the listeners. Like I said, you can follow me on Twitter at JoeRB31. You can follow Glenn on Twitter, if you still want to, at AceFan23. The podcast reviews are greatly appreciated. I hope a couple more write them since I've been saying it, a couple of people have wrote it, and it really does help us. It really, really does. So please do that if you could. Thank you to our sponsor, Mile Social, who manages your social media so you can run your business. I will be back, maybe solo, maybe with Glenn next week. We'll talk about some more things. We'll dive a little bit more into Daron Lee. We'll dive a little bit more into free agency, some of the Jets own free agents. But for now, I'm out. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And have a good day. Actually, yeah, I'll wait. I'll wait to talk about the Super Bowl with Glenn next week. That could be an interesting discussion. I didn't talk about it this week, but damn, the Falcons choked. But we'll get into that next week. Like I said, thanks, everybody, for listening.